So this is David Swanson speaking with Cindy Sheehan, world famous, of course, at the time and since 7 years ago or so, maybe, Cindy, when you led the occupation, as we didn't yet call things, at George W. Bush's ranch in Texas, since which time you've produced, I don't know how many wonderful books, an endlessly wonderful blog site and radio show and speaking events and activism and continually some of the best one-liners I see. I think maybe Twitter was designed for Cindy Sheehan remarks and resistance to paying your taxes and God knows what else. Run for Congress, run for vice president. And now I understand you're going to ride your bicycle all the way across the United States of America. And I want to ask all the logistical questions. But first, I wonder if you could explain why. I mean, Bush is gone. We have a right. Nobel Peace Prize winner in the White House. What mm-hmm. gives?
Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, it's always great to talk to you, David, and I look forward to working with you on our bike ride tour to peace and then being in Charlottesville again. It's been a couple of years since I've been there. But, you know, and it's almost 8 years since Crawford, Texas. It'll be 8 years in August. It's really hard to believe. But the thing is, I think Obama administration, the regime, the empire, whatever you want to call it, would love us to believe that the wars are over or the wars are ending and we're ushering in an era of peace or the age of Aquarius. And, you know, we both know that's not correct. And people who pay attention know that the war certainly seem to be on the back burner, like they were back in 2004 and 2005, when a great majority of the anti-war movement was disappointed, frustrated, missing in action. As you also well know, 10 years ago tomorrow, there were millions of people all over the world that marched in opposition to Bush invading Iraq in 2003. So, you know, it's just like nobody's talking about the wars anymore. Nobody's talking about the increasing expenditure on the defense, I use air quotes around defense department and the Pentagon and the, you know, imperial wars for profit, where our economy is in a crisis. And I tried to get Occupy Wall Street and its various affiliates around the country to talk about how much money our communities could save and use in our communities by not spending it on the Pentagon and on the wars for empire. And so what I'm hoping to do with this tour across the country, starting here in Vacaville in California on April 4th, the day that Casey was killed at his gravesite, and going across the country to Washington, D.C., to hopefully have a pretty large convergence on the White House to demand an end to these wars for empire, an end to using our tax money to kill and torture and imprison people. And so we have a list of demands, and we're hoping that the demands, as we're going across the country, we can organize around that, and we can organize around educating people that the wars are still going on, and people are still dying, and, you know, our community's futures and our family futures, they're in jeopardy because of these wars for empire. And it's just so devious to me that Obama was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize, and I went there when he was given it to protest. They said it was the largest protest since Kissinger received the Nobel Peace Prize. You know, it's just so devious that Obama's been able to put people who are our allies, who I think do care about these things, he's convinced them that everything's fine and we're, you know, on a path to peace, and that's just not true.
There is supposed to be a big rally this Sunday in Washington, D.C. about the climate, and outside of my poster and those of a few others, I'm sure that the largest consumer of oil in the world won't be mentioned because it's right. The so-called Defense Department, although God knows which planet it's defending. And I just watched a handful of celebrities who went and got arrested ahead of time to generate news. And Robert F. Kennedy Jr. was asked, will President Obama halt this tar sands pipeline? And Kennedy, either as a tactic or a delusion, I don't know which, said, of course he will, because he has a strong moral core and he would never do anything really evil.
Oh,
what do you think of that if it's a tactic? And what do you think of that if it's actually a belief?
Well, I think that, you know, a lot of people like Robert Kennedy Jr., you know, and others, you know, doing actions and care about other things that we're in solidarity with 100%. I think that they carry a lot of gravitas in the so-called left or the Democratic Party. And, you know, when Robert Kennedy says something like Obama has a moral center, then a lot of people cling on to that. They want to cling on to that and believe that it's true. And the only reason I ever talk about Obama is because he's the figurehead of the empire right now. And I think that we have to point out and consistently point out that the policies aren't Democratic or Republican. They're the policies of the so-called ruling class, the elite, what I call the robber class. And those are the policies that get carried out no matter who's in office. And as long as we keep, not we, you and I, we, but as long as people who pay attention, because we're just really, you know, a minority of people who actually do pay attention to things, as long as we keep on playing partisan politics, there's going to be no positive solution. And if the pipeline gets approved, and I'm pretty sure it's going to be approved, they can say, well, Obama didn't want to approve it. The Republicans made him approve it. So we just get on this kind of like this hamster's wheel and go around in circles constantly without seeing any true relevant or positive change for us. And, you know, you listed, I've written books, I've gotten arrested about 20 times, I've run for office, I've camped out in Crawford, Texas, in Martha's Vineyard when Obama was on vacation, tried to do two camps in Washington, D.C. in 2010. And you know, I'm just trying to always constantly think of ways that we can really have some chance for true and positive and relevant change. And it's not going to happen until the people wake up to the fact that there is a ruling class or robber class agenda, and it doesn't matter who's president, that agenda is going to go forward. And until we collectively put our feet down and, you know, say that's not happening anymore, it's not going to change. And if we keep on, you know, every 4 years pretending like we can have an election and something relevant's going to happen, then we're just literally screwed.
I looked at the list of demands for the Tour de Peace, which includes ending war making and ending fossil fuel consumption. And another one is ending the abuses of our civil rights. And you, Cindy, have been our challenger, our resistor of Nancy Pelosi and her agenda. And I saw her asked today, should the American public know about the U.S. government murdering U.S. citizens? And Nancy Pelosi's response was, maybe it just depends. What is the state of our civil liberties? Because I think even more than with warfare, people believe that something took a 180-degree turn when we elected a black president.
Well, you know, absolutely. And that's just another insidious aspect of Obama being in office, is that, you know, I see people still today pulling out the racist card if you oppose Obama in any way, but that's not even the point. The point is, I believe that Obama has been able to further the agenda of the robber class even more than Bush and Cheney did. And it's because people who would normally oppose what he's actually doing are silent about it. And to me, it's just, you know, we are definitely a police state. And I just interviewed Sabelle Edmonds yesterday for my show. And she's lived in Turkey. She's lived in Azerbaijan when it was communist. She's lived in Iran. And she said that the U.S. police state is even more dangerous because at least in those other places she's lived, people knew they lived in a police state. Here, there's still the myth that we live in a free society. But if we have a police state from the federal level down to the local level that can murder people without fair trials, without transparency, with impunity, then what is that called? People don't even have to be put on trial anymore. The authoritarian authorities just need to declare, with the help, of course, of the media, need to declare somebody guilty and they can be assassinated. And to me, it doesn't matter if you believe that a Hellfire missile isn't going to fall on your house, or if you believe that the LAPD or San Bernardino sheriff or wherever you live isn't going to incinerate you. Every human should be outraged over what's happening. And, you know, of course, Nancy Pelosi is part of the robber class. And when I ran against her, we tried to pound the story that Nancy Pelosi, while she was the ranking member on the House Intelligence Committee, was fully briefed on torture and was fully briefed on waterboarding. And, you know, I know that there are, you know, people are supposed to keep things confidential and there's top secret things. But we also know that there's a lot of courageous whistleblowers that have really put their lives, careers, you know, fortunes on the line to blow the whistle on things that are wrong. So to me, I give Nancy Pelosi I don't give her any kind of room to be such a I'm trying to be kind here, to be such a faithful servant of that class.
I thought you might be going for a different F word there, an Italian one. But her buddy Dianne Feinstein has a similar position she's in. But the fourth demand for the tour de peace is in fact, according to the website, end the persecution of whistleblowers. And it seems like, I mean, you, Cindy, know as much as anybody about how brutal, publicly convicting people of things in the media can be after having dealt with Fox News and the rest of that gang. But whistleblowers these days seem to face higher hurdles and greater risks than perhaps ever before. And I don't know if people realize that. What has Obama done with the presidency of transparency for whistleblowers?
Well, of course, the level of persecution is even higher. And to me, you know, they're persecuting people like Bradley Manning and, you know, other high-level whistleblowers, FBI agents and things like that. But then the Justice Department will protect the admitted war criminals of the Bush administration. And they've gone to great lengths to make sure that nobody in the Bush administration is prosecuted for war crimes or crimes against humanity, because they're doing the same thing. And so whistleblowing should be protected as an honorable thing. When these people see that there is a danger to the community or a danger to people who buy their products, or, you know, when they see the U.S. empire and military doing illegal things, they should be able to, shouldn't even have to go to, you know, higher authorities or the media. They should be able to take care of these things under their immediate supervisors without feeling like they're going to be compromised or endangered or anything like that. And that's another thing. I mean, Bradley Manning is only one example of a political prisoner or somebody that's being persecuted for trying to do the right thing. But I still am, you know, very involved in going to different communities and speaking about these issues. And the people who come out to hear my talks, I feel like they're pretty much more well-informed than the general population. And there's always a segment of the people who come out to hear me that have never even heard of Bradley Manning. So, you know, that's something that can only be pinned on the Obama administration. There's no wiggle room. They can't say it's the Republicans making them or it's just a holdover policy from the Bush administration. And Obama did something that was clearly illegal when he spoke publicly that Bradley Manning was guilty. And so there's a portion of the people that affiliate with us that haven't even heard of that case. And so I think that's just just another thing that we have to highlight, that while we're going across the country, we have to talk about these whistleblowers that are being persecuted by the Obama administration while they're protecting the criminals of the Bush regime.
So let's talk about the Tour de Peace. It starts April 4th in Vacaville, California, and goes all the way across the country. What will this look like? What will it be?
Well, right now in the initial planning stages of it, we have a route, and we're going to take the old Route 66 from California to Chicago, and I think it's very relevant. I mean, it's very historical, but it's also called the Mother Road, and so I think that has a lot of relevance to what I've been known for in my activism. But we're trying to, along the way, meet with members of the peace community, the anti-war community, have rallies, do media, trying to expose these issues and to try and rally support for ending the wars. And, we're going to be going through some places that have been hit really hard by the economy and the, spending, out of control spending on the Pentagon and on quote unquote defense. And so, and just to say that, this is how much money your community sends to Washington, D.C., or have sent to Washington, D.C. since September 11th. And is there something else? Could you keep some schools open? Could you keep some libraries open? Could you hire more teachers? Could you fix your roads? And we'll be going down the road, so we'll be very close to what is going on. And also, it's one of our demands about fossil fuels is that we right now have the means to get our country off of all fossil fuels. But, we'll be going over proposed pipeline territory, over territory where fracking is starting and is really compromising the environment, not just compromising our economy and our way of life, but compromising the future in a very scary way. So that's why I've had a couple of tours that we've done in cars, and it's just a way to get from point A to point B quickly, but this is going to be 3 months. We're going to take our time getting across the country. We're going to highlight these things, and it's one thing to say the U.S., the Pentagon, the military, the federal government needs to transform from a fossil fuel-based energy to clean, sustainable, renewable energy, but we also have to do our parts. I believe that if we're educated and if we're working together toward the same goals, we can start to strangle these industries that are the ones that are actually running policy in the country. And so every community has its own issues, its own things they're going through. We hope to be able to interact with people in the communities along the way, just do a real, a revolutionary community tour across the country, and just trying to really rally people to be nonpartisan in their activism. So, of course, the people who agree with us are the ones who are so far signed up to organize in the communities, but we're hoping, of course, to do more outreach than just the people who already agree with us. And then we're hoping that we will get some media attention too, and we'll have hopefully a camera with us to do a documentary about the Tour de Peace. We hope to be putting up regular YouTubes about our adventures, and we just hope to have a lot of fun along the way, as well as doing a lot of good work.
I have to interject a bit of highway bashing because I think localities need to repair their roads, and you know the Pentagon's got over $1 trillion a year, but the highways do get $42 billion, and I wonder if we couldn't have some bike paths and some trains and some cleaner forms of transportation for some of that. But
oh, absolutely. We totally agree with that.
Okay. But what can people do if they want to know where the route is planned, if they want to ask if you can stop and do an event in their town, if they want to ride 10 or 100 or 1,500 miles
3,
with you, or 3,000.
3,200 miles with
how
me.
How can people? I mean, this is like the only way you can do activism and actually be healthier at the end of it rather than, you know, fatter. How can people participate?
I know. It's amazing. We have a website, tourdepeace.org, T-O-U-R-D-E, peace.org. The route is published. The guidelines for people who want to ride are published. We have the demands up, and the demands are fluid, and we're flexible with that. It, you know, we would love to have input from people on our demands, and we would love to have hundreds, if not thousands, of bike riders meet us on July 3rd at Arlington Cemetery to bike into Washington, D.C., to surround the White House. And we're hoping also, David, to do something that you and I have done already a couple times. We're going to post a way that people can sign on to the demands and try to deliver them to the White House. And I bet you remember the times we've had to throw our demands over the fence because they wouldn't take them. So we'll also have a way that people can be in solidarity with our demands if they're not able to physically join us.
Sounds terrific. Why the 4th of July? I mean, I understand Washington because the president doesn't have a ranch and the military-industrial complex doesn't have a ranch. You got to go to the heart of the empire. Won't the 4th of July be a mad scene of patriotic fireworks and bad music and lip syncing?
Well, that's why.
That's
why we're going to do it. I've been in D.C. several times on the 4th of July, and we've actually been able to reach thousands of people on the 4th of July. We've been able to hand out flyers and meet a lot of people. And so I think it's a perfect time to exercise our right as humans and what should be our rights as citizens. And of course, many people are lamenting the death of our Constitution, the death of the Bill of Rights. And to me, even though it's a flawed document, it's the one that we have. And so to be there on the 4th of July when, you know, the founders got together, no matter what problems they had, and said that we're going to be independent from tyranny, I think that, since our country is heading that way, it's going to, you know, this kill list and these executing people without trials, we're not going down a slippery slope. We've slid down that slope. And so to be there on the day when we said, when the founding people said no to tyranny, I think is a perfect time to exercise our rights, to present our demands, and petition our government for a redress of wrongs. I can't think of a better time to be there.
Sounds terrific. I'm looking forward to it. I hope everyone will be there to exercise our rights and exercise and have no problems with parking on the 4th of July in Washington, D.C. I hope there will be an enormous crowd worthy of the cause.
And, you know, we started Crawford. It was just me saying I'm going. And then that turned out to be, you know, hundreds of thousands of people around the world being in solidarity with us. So, you know, I'm hoping that I won't have to make this trip across the country by myself. I'm hoping that a lot of people will join me, not just because it's a cool bike ride, but, you know, because of what we're standing for and what we're trying to change.
I have one question about that, because when I've seen something very quickly become a national movement, as in your occupation of that ranch in Crawford, or the Occupy movement that started in New York City, they've had a lot of things in common. Principled stand, brilliant messaging and organizing, and a resistance to something that was deeply hated by the public, but no one had been resisting. But also the corporate media stepping in and saying, let's play this on television for hours until millions of people have seen it. Mm-hmm. You know as well as I do that people have engaged in activism that was arguably principled and strong and brilliant and pithy, but without the television networks joining in, Americans don't really believe anything's real, I don't think.
Right. Is there a
strategy to make our own media, or is there a strategy to get the mega media cartel on board with the tour de piece?
Well, we would like to do both. I think that, you know, your analysis of the corporate mega media is absolutely correct, but the only way we've been able to keep going the way that we have been able to keep going, no matter how small that we've had to go, is through making our own media and being, you know, trying to get our own voices heard. So, you know, we're hoping that both of the things will happen. One never knows what's going to be going on with the corporate media. They, you know, they have a very good strategy of shutting people out if they think that they have a deeper analysis of things than, you know, just pointing fingers and calling names. And of course, I've been known to do that, but I've been doing this for a long, long time, and you know, I'm here to stay, whether CNN's there or it's just going to be one of our colleagues with, you know, his iPhone taping things and putting them up on Facebook and Twitter. And so we can get a lot of excitement going on that way, and then it becomes hard to ignore.
Well, I appreciate you letting me be a part of it, and I hope that this will be one of those times that it really takes off. It obviously won't if we don't try. So
absolutely.
Join in, everybody. Thanks for everything you're doing, Cindy.
Oh, thanks, David. It was so great to talk to you again, and we'll see you soon.